grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. From the Gospel for this Sunday, the 16th chapter of St. John, Jesus said, "I have said all this to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. I have said these things to you that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you of them." For the past three Sundays, the Gospel readings have taken us back to that upper room in Jerusalem on the night before our Lord was crucified. And on this Sunday between Ascension Day and next Sunday's Feast of Pentecost, we again hear something from Jesus' farewell discourse, in which he prepares his disciples for his departure from this world by giving them a warning and a promise. A warning and a promise. He warns them of what they'll be facing, and he promises to send to them the Holy Spirit. Now, these 12 men gathered with Jesus in that upper room were very much what someone has called the crooked timber of our humanity. The crooked timber of our humanity. Jesus knows their frailty, their inconstancy, their too valiant trust in themselves. And we all know that before that night was ended, Judas had betrayed his Lord. Simon Peter had not just once, but three times denied that he even knew him. And when Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, every one of them forsook him. Fled. Nor is that all. Jesus knows what they'll be up against when he's no longer with them. He says they'll put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming when whoever kills you will think that he's offering God worship. Well, to put it mildly, it's not a very encouraging picture. And the truth, of course, is that you and I are no better than that little band gathered there with Jesus in the upper room. You and I, too, are very much the crooked timber of humanity. We too are frail, we too are inconstant, and we too are only too ready to rely on our own strength to manage things. We see in ourselves those more serious faults of human nature. Ignoring God, lacking true fear and trust in him, being angry at him, hating his judgments, at times giving way to despair. Nor is that all. We too are aware of the hostility of this world to the Lord Jesus and his church. Well, of course, we're not facing violent persecution the way some Christians in some parts of the world are. But we are facing the more subtle pressure of indifference. In a world whose common assumptions about life frankly contradict the truth we know in Jesus. But if we listen to Jesus' word, we can't really be surprised at all that, because that's what Jesus taught his disciples and teaches us to expect. Jesus prepared them for all these things so that they wouldn't fall away. When you and I see what the church is up against today, it's very easy to wonder what on earth is going on. But this mustn't be a reason for discouragement or despair, because the church's Lord has warned us to expect just this, the hostility of the world to truth, also the hostility of the world within the church. And so, far from undermining faith, these sad realities in fact strengthen faith, because this is exactly what our Lord told his disciples and teaches us to expect. But the Lord Jesus doesn't only give us this warning. He also gives us a promise, the promise to send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. The Comforter who makes us strong. If you look at that word Comforter, you see in it the word fort. And another word for fort is a stronghold. And so when Jesus promises to send the Comforter, he's promising to send one who not only consoles us, but one who makes us strong. And how does the Holy Spirit do that? By pointing to Jesus, by showing Jesus as our Savior, just as Jesus said. When the Comforter comes, he will bear witness about me. In and of themselves, the Lord's disciples were frail and in many ways feeble men, very much the crooked timber of humanity. But when the Comforter who makes us strong came to them on the day of Pentecost, that little band of men then boldly proclaimed to the great crowd in Jerusalem Jesus' victory accomplished on the cross and revealed in his resurrection. And the same Lord Jesus who used those 12 men continues to use his church and its pastors to speak peace to hearts troubled by sin and fear. Forgiving sins in Jesus' name, calling to repentance, baptizing and administering the Lord's body and blood to hungry and thirsty souls. In all of this, the Holy Spirit makes us alive in faith. He strengthens and consoles. And this is the secret of the church's survival through all the trials of her history. This is the secret of the church's resurrection from all the graves prepared for her by a hostile world and by the malice of Satan. The church's life is not her own. The church's life is the life in her of the Holy Spirit, who makes us strong through faith in Jesus, who all unseen rules all things for the good of the little flock that bears his name. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.